Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house as we're privileged to lift up praise and worship to God this morning. We would like to encourage everyone to please sign the registration pad and pass that on to your neighbors. Today, immediately after this service, we will be having our congregational meeting for the purpose of voting on the 2024-26 nominations for elders, deacons, and junior deacons, and to also vote on the 24 budget. We certainly do need a quorum, so your attendance is genuinely appreciated. The bulletin announcement page has a continued message here about reserving the poinsettias. And if you would like to make a reservation and pay for a poinsettia, again, fill out that form, put it in the offering plate along with your check. Today is the deadline for that order. Tickets are available in the foyer for the all-church Christmas party scheduled for the 2nd of December at 6 o'clock. And also there's a flyer in the bulletin about caroling to our homebound members on Sunday afternoon, the 10th of December. Please fill that out and place it in the offering plate if you would like to be a part of that group. I know our homebound folks are certainly looking forward to your presence. Also, in the bulletin announcement page, we have announcements concerning the Harvest Tree to your left and also the Northland Christmas Store to your right. Both of these ministries have a deadline for purchasing these items and bringing them to the church of next Sunday, the 19th of November. Chris Martinson is continuing to offer those personal portrait Christmas ornament cutouts. Information about that in your bulletin as well. Also, I do need to mention that directories are now available for sale, right, Cindy? Directories are available for sale. They are $10 a piece. That's essentially just $10 to help us recoup the printing cost of those directories. So we would like to encourage you to pick up a directory. And regarding the bazaar we had last Sunday, the bazaar itself and the silent auction acquired a total of $1,227.85. That is better than last year's amount. So we're certainly grateful for your generosity. Thank you. Thank you so much. I think those are the announcements that we need to lift up, except I also want to make note of the fact that yesterday was Veterans Day, and I would certainly like for us to honor our veterans, even if we are a day late. Just thought that might be better to do that today because it'd be in our remembrance better than last Sunday. So here in our fellowship this morning, any of our veterans, we'd certainly like to acknowledge your presence among us. If you would please stand so that we may offer a word of thanks. All of our veterans, please. Thank you. Praise God. And of course, that's includes Kerry as well. There's about the same number as what we had at the early service too. So we have a number of veterans in our fellowship, and we praise God for that. Ryan, I call upon you for our call to worship, please.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship today. Come, let us praise the Lord. Let us sing for joy to God who protects us.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving and sing joyful songs of praise.
Come, let us bow down and worship him.
Let us be
Lord our Maker.
He is our God. We are the people he cares for, the flock for which he provides. We'll now sing hymn number 348, stanzas 1 and 4 of More About Jesus Would I Know.
More about Jesus would I know,
more of his grace to others show,
more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about about Jesus, more, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus on his throne, riches and glory all his own, more of his kingdom's sure increase, more of his coming Prince of Peace. More, more about Jesus, more, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me.
May we pray. Holy and gracious God, we assemble in your house of worship to offer you praise. And as Paul encourages us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, we pray that Christ's message and all its richness may live in our hearts as we strive to teach and instruct one another with all wisdom. For it is in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbors. May our children come forward for the children's message, please.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales Stories of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. Thank you. So, I want to talk about gratitude. Do you know what gratitude means? Gratitude. It means being thankful. But gratitude, real gratitude, is kind of more than just saying thanks. It's pretty easy to say thanks, isn't it? Our mommies and daddies teach us to say thank you and please, don't they? Yeah, they teach us to be polite and say please and thank you. But being grateful takes a little bit of effort. We got to try a little bit harder. Being really grateful, shall we listen? First Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, no matter what's happening. You're supposed to be thankful. For this is God's will for you in Christ. No matter what's going on. Doesn't matter if you're having a good day or a bad day, you're supposed to be thankful. We're going to talk more about that in Children's Church, about how maybe we can do that. Be thankful no matter what's going on. And being really, really grateful means to rejoice and give praise in all things. Our memory verse downstairs is going to talk about that too. It's going to talk about loving the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And if we do that, then it's easier to be grateful. Should we have a prayer? Heavenly Father, we with great gratitude thank you for this day and these children. We ask that you bless each and every one of us as we go through this day and all of the rest of our week. We ask that your will be done in all things, Lord. And in this, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
In our prayers this new week, we do want to lift up Judy Settles and her family as the service for her husband, Bob, will be taking place this coming Saturday, 18th of November, at the Whitechapel Funeral Home and Cemetery, 10 o'clock for the visitation and 11 o'clock for the service. Jean Booth was able to return to McCride after being hospitalized this past week. We just keep her in our prayers. We also lift up Amy and Charles Roberts, as Amy is going to be having shoulder surgery tomorrow, and the extent of it will be determined once the surgeon begins. We lift up Bob Maddox, as that aortic valve replacement surgery is still pending results of further testing. We lift up Edna Williams in the midst of that pressure wound she's dealing with. Jerry, we certainly lift up Betty as she's looking to have this surgery on Wednesday of this week at the KU Medical Center. And we lift up Susan Hanks, of course, in the midst of her recovery. Jill Gregory at Newmark Care Center is now in hospice care, so we keep her in prayer day by day. And of course, my back surgical procedure will be a week from this Tuesday, Tuesday the 21st of November, St. Luke's downtown. And Lennard Jones, who attends the early service presently, is asking that we lift up his supervisor, Michael Thomas, with the fact that his mother, Kate, passed away this past week. I think these are the key people we need to lift up this morning, so may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence. Merciful God, for the privilege to freely assemble in your house to offer our praise to you, we are always indeed grateful. And on this Sunday after Veterans Day, we also honor and express our gratitude to our friends, neighbors, fellow countrymen and women who have pledged to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and to bear true faith and allegiance to the same in times of war and peace. We are forever mindful of those who have paid the ultimate price with the loss of their lives, and also mindful of those whose lives are forever altered by injuries or other challenges as they strive to re-enter civilian life. But here in your house of worship, where we are privileged to peacefully assemble without fear of reprisal, we are also aware that it is Christ our Lord who has provided us the greatest avenue of liberty, for we are freed from sin and privileged to live lives that honor your name. As the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, verse 5 reminds us, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. With humble thanksgiving, therefore, we offer this prayer as we also recite the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, Ryan and choir. Thank you so much. Thank you. Talking with several cadets while our son was at the Air Force Academy, it was a rather interesting notation for me to recognize the significant number of cadets who were third and fourth generation members of the armed services and their families, even as we knew that our son was the third generation in my family. As Jonathan was telling me yesterday that he was donating blood, and Carrie had told me that she had done the same just a few days prior, I was also remembering just how many people who have served in the armed services make it a personal commitment to give blood regularly, long past the years that they were encouraged to do so while they were on active duty. Both instances remind us just how often the encouragement of certain values also encourages generational acceptance of those same values, which indeed become generational traditions. In the Christian church and several other faith groups, we choose to share in the Lord's Supper each and every Sunday. This habitual commitment to remember Christ's sacrifice has thus encouraged its significance to transcend generations of Christian believers through the centuries. So as we partake in the bread and the cup of the Lord's table, once again this morning, may we never underestimate the ability of this ongoing practice to inspire many more people so that it becomes a generational tradition among Christian believers. For Jesus said, "Do this as often as you will in remembrance of me." Our communion hymn this morning, "Let Us Break Bread Together," we sing stanzas 1 and 3, hymn number 425. Gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.'" And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Lana leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come now to this table to, with very humble hearts, to say thank you, thank you, thank you for the life that you led, the blood that you shed for us, so that we can have eternal life with you. As we take these emblems, let us remember on a daily basis that sacrifice many, many years ago. We ask that you bless this, these gifts and this communion and this wine in reverence to your blood shed for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. From the Afterlife series we finished last Sunday, we learn that at the rapture, we will one day be gathered in the clouds with Christ, and we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Our works will then be judged, and we will be rewarded accordingly. Thus, as God has provided us with resources, may we strive to use them for God's glory here on earth. For Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 tells us, "There is nothing that can be hid from God. Everything in all creation is exposed before his eyes, and it is to him that we must all give an account of ourselves." With these thoughts in mind, Anna leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Lord, we are grateful for all you provide for us. As we give back a portion of our gifts that you have provided for us, we ask for your blessings that they will be able to show others your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
May we stand? Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture reading I share with you this morning. This is John's Gospel, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 35th verse all the way to 40. Jesus says of himself, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. Now I told you that you have seen me, but will not believe. Everyone whom my Father gives me will come to me. I will never turn away anyone who comes to me." And here's the key verse, verse 38. "Because I have come down from heaven to do not my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And it is the will of him who sent me that I should not lose any of those he has given to me, but that I should raise them all to life on the last day." So again, Christ came into the world for what purpose? Our salvation. Verse 40, "For what my Father wants is that all who see the Son and believe in him should have eternal life, and I will raise them to life on the last day. Of course, talking about, you know, for us, the rapture, right? May we have a word of prayer. Holy God, we offer you thanksgiving and praise for the assurance offered to us by your divine providence, all the way to the culmination of your plan for your creation and your plan of salvation for humanity, through Christ our Lord. Amen. We have all heard the idiom to meet our Maker. If you look up meet our Maker or meet your Maker in any number of secular dictionaries, they will simply say it simply means to die. In secular dictionaries, seldom does it seem to refer to the Christian belief that meeting our Maker means that we're going to meet up with who? With God the Creator. Yet, as we have made our journey through that afterlife series over the last 8 weeks, we have learned from Scripture that every person who has ever lived on earth will in time truly meet our Maker. Everyone will meet one's Maker either by one's spiritual self being gathered up in the clouds with fellow believers and standing before the judgment seat of Christ, or gathered among non-believers to stand before the great white throne of what? Judgment. I hope those two phrases have meaningfulness for you now. Again, that judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne of judgment. This clear understanding of Scripture has compelled me to believe that we really need to take the providence of God far more seriously than we do. We think we're just running along with our own lives, doing our own thing, making our own plans, right? But as the sign outside states, God's providence rules. The text that's referenced there is Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Taking a closer look at God's providence and also considering that Thanksgiving Day is fast approaching, what I would like to do with the two remaining Sundays I have before I'm going to be all laid up is take a two-part series on this whole idea of providence. Today, let's understand how certain biblical characters became notable in God's eyes because they simply were willing to strive to abide in God's providence, often through a covenant relationship. Then next Sunday, 19th of November, just before Thanksgiving Day, let's explore how the pilgrims' tenacious adherence to their understanding of God's providence in a covenant relationship also led them to be successful and thriving in a new colony, even though all the odds were definitely against them. So today, a brief look at some biblical characters. First of all, Abraham. God called out Abram, which means exalted father, from his homeland where his ancestors worshiped many pagan gods. He called him to a new and unfamiliar land away from his ancestors and changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations, and compelled him to worship one distinctive true God. What we must understand is just how unique that was for the era of human history in which people were so inclined to worship multiple gods. God established a covenant relationship with Abraham and promised that he would be the heir of a mighty nation. Why? Why have so many relatives? So they can be an influence to the world. Not just so you can brag about it, right? So they can be an influence to the world. In Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, the text says, when Abram was 99 years old, in other words, during a time when it seemed so highly unlikely, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and blameless. And then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. And as the New Testament book of Hebrews tells us, it is by an act of faith that Abraham believed in God's providence and God blessed him. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with the 11th verse, the text says, "He," meaning Abraham, "trusted God to keep his promise. And through though Abraham was practically dead," again, he's in his 90s, you see here, "from this one man came as many descendants as there are stars in the sky, as many as the numbers list grains of sand on the seashore." Now, there were certainly bumps in the road, because human beings have such a tenacious way of trying to follow their way rather than God's way. And of course, we know that Abraham and Sarah just couldn't seem to wait on God's timing. So of course, Abraham had a child through his servant, through Sarah's servant. Of course, that just caused all kinds of family trouble, right? We have to recognize that a lot of our troubles are of our own making, not of God's design, right? But finally, as it turned out, Isaac was born. And then, of course, from Isaac, we had Jacob. From Jacob, we had Joseph. And so for a heritage of generations, we see that God's providence prevailed, and the nation of the Hebrew people was born. Look at Joseph, the fourth of the final patriarchal four, if you will. He was a favored child who wore a coat of many colors given by his beloved father, Jacob. Joseph was despised by his older brothers, and they refused to believe his dream that they would one day bow down before him. You just can imagine how a bunch of older brothers would be saying, "Who does he think he is? He's the puny runt of the bunch," right? Of course, they despised him so much that we know that he conspired to sell him into slavery and told a lie to their father, Jacob, that Joseph had been eaten by wild animals while they presented the coat. "Oh, look, it's all full of blood." Of course, it was animals' blood, but my gosh. Oh, and of course, that just broke Joseph's heart, did it not? Yet this story is one that tells us that God's providence will certainly unfold as God plans, even in spite of sometimes the evil intentions of other players in the program, if you will. For we know how the story ended. Joseph arose from slavery to become second in command of Egypt, and his high position gave him the authority to save his father, brothers, and so many other Hebrew people from starvation as the region endured years of drought. Joseph affirmed God's providence at work through him, as he said in Genesis chapter 45, "God sent me ahead of you to rescue you in this amazing way, and to make sure that you and your descendants survived." Then as we look at our Lord Jesus, we know that he was determined to abide by God's providence over his life, over the course of his ministry. Now we wonder, how was it that Jesus got the idea that he was the Messiah? Well, first of all, the amazing things that happened to Mary and Joseph. Mary having the vision of the angel Gabriel, and the fact that she was going to be born, bear a child, right? Of course, then for Joseph, a couple of dreams. Now, I don't know about you, I would have preferred the vision of an angel rather than dreams. I think I would have had more believability in the vision. But you know, God has ways of doing God's things. And I applaud Joseph for willing to take up the notion in a couple of dreams that was valid data from God. Right? I believe that they certainly must have shared those stories with Jesus. So even as a child, he was certainly getting this notion that there's something about him, something unique about him. But then, of course, at his baptism, what happened? Baptism by his cousin John. We know that the heavens opened up as he came up out of the water, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him, lit upon him, like with the imagery of a dove. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my dear son," right? Listen to him. That was like an anointing, if you will, an affirmation that he truly is the Messiah. And from that point on, Jesus just went forward, knowing that he was going to have to be that final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of humanity's sin. And he even affirms this by what he says. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, Jesus says, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. John chapter 6, verse 38, continuing, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall not lose those who he has given to me, but shall raise them up on the last day. Again, the end times, right? Jesus was determined to follow God's providence for his life. How did he also affirm that? Through constant prayer. He was always in the spirit of prayer before he would decide certain major considerations, or even after miraculous events took place, constantly in prayer, and certainly well-versed in the scriptures. That's how we should be. Then we look at Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. And we see that on the road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus felt that he was on the right road in his fierce and brutal efforts to kill Christian believers whom he felt were a sect that was straying from the truths of the Jewish faith. But God intervened in the midst of Saul's plans and transformed his life from being an enemy to a great worker for Christ. And with that great light that came forth, Paul recounts the event in Acts chapter 26, where he says, we all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And here's the key verse here. It is useless for you to fight against my will. Get up and stand on your feet. Now, of course, he's blind here, so imagine the difficulty with trying to get reoriented here. And to those whom I send to you, you are to open the eyes and turn them from the darkness to the light and from the power of Satan to God, so that through their faith in me, they will have their sins forgiven and receive their place among God's chosen people. And from that point on, he knew his destiny was to do everything he could to work in sync with the providence of God for his life. Now, for you and me, what we must understand is we do have free will. We can decide to preoccupy a great deal of our time, energy, and treasure on things that have nothing to do with God. But you know what? As we've been emphasizing here the last few weeks, we're marching down one road, all of us. And that road is to stand before the presence of God in Christ, right? And we're going to be held accountable. And so should we not be inspired to set aside the distractions and to stay focused on the providence of God in our lives? And what would that be? The providence of God in our lives is simply for our lives to make a difference for the benefit and blessing of others in the name of Jesus Christ. The providence in our lives is to do whatever we can to bring others into the faith through our own living testimony. And we do that. We get that guidance through prayer and through study of God's word, and we also acquire it by trying to be sensitive to what God may be doing to lead us. We need to start every day with the expression, Lord God, what would you have me do today for your glory? And I guarantee you, if you do that regularly, the Spirit of God will open up to you and give you guidance in miraculous ways. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And again, our sign, Psalm 103, verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. So I ask you, where are you today? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? If you don't, today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Maybe today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. As we extend the invitation to you, we're going to sing our hymn of invitation number 346, Where He Leads Me. We'll sing the first and third stanzas, please. First and third.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take my cross and
take a seat for a moment here. It is our privilege this morning, first of all, to welcome Rachel Barmore. And Rachel is Tom Bosworth's daughter, and Rachel's been attending services with us now for the last several months. Rachel, it's been a joy to have you here. I know Tom is delighted to have you present here. Right, Tom? Praise God. Praise God. We are so delighted you've been sharing with us. And Rachel and I have been on the journey with the Christian Beliefs class to kind of shore up some ideas about what our faith is all about. We're not quite finished with that. We're going to have to finish that once I get back on my feet here in a few weeks. And we look forward to her baptism once I'm back with you all here in fellowship. But Rachel, based upon everything that we have been studying and learning, and based upon your commitment, I want to ask you, do you believe with all your heart that indeed Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as you this morning would like to ask for forgiveness of your sin and accept him as your Lord and Savior? Praise God. Praise God. So, Rachel, I send you a hand of Christian fellowship and welcome you in not only our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church, but indeed into the family of Christ, right? Praise God, Rachel. Bless you. We also are privileged by the fact that Larry and Donna Martin have been attending our church now for a number of months here too. Praise God for both of you. We're so delighted that you've been sharing with us. They are coming to us from the Platte Woods United Methodist Church, same church as Al and Linda Menes and some others in our fellowship. And we are so delighted that you have found a place to worship God and to feel very much at home in our fellowship. And based upon your previous confession of faith and baptism, Larry, to you and to Donna, I want to extend the hand of Christian fellowship and welcome you both into our congregation here at Berry. Bless you both. Let's give them a hand. Praise God. Thank you so much. Thank you. Now, we're going to greet them at the door here, if you don't mind, as we end our service. But at the same time, also remember We do have this congregational meeting immediately after the service here in the sanctuary for the vote of the 24 budget, as well as our new elders, deacons, junior deacons for 24 to 26. So please stay and help us get that bit of congregational business taken care of. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, for the spirit of your presence that dwells among us and indeed helps us to experience the fullness of your strength and renewal in our lives, and truly to affirm the fact that Jesus is indeed Christ, Lord and Savior of our lives, we are indeed grateful. We ask your blessing for Larry and Donna and for Rachel, for their families, and we celebrate and affirm the commitments that they have made to you today. Guide us as we depart from your house, that we may experience the fullness of your presence and be a living testimony as we journey day by day. For it's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.
Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Jesus calls us by thy mercies, Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thine obedience, serve and love thee best of all.